Okay.
Thank you very much. Half a day. Sorry for the delay. Had a very interesting and wonderful meeting with the folks, representatives from CDC and a potential partner out of Japan. Good afternoon. Happy Biba Betnis, Todos Hanzu. Happy Friday to all of you. Thank you for joining the regular meeting of the Research Corporation of the University of Guam Board of Directors. Thank you very much, Kathleen. I would like to call this meeting to order. And the first order of business is item two, the meeting minutes from November 28, 2023. And the minutes were furnished to you in advance from RCOG. And if we are ready to entertain a motion, let's proceed.
So moved, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, was there a motion to approve?
Yeah, I move to approve subject to technical corrections.
Okay, thank you very much. Motion made, subject to corrections. So I hear a second.
Second.
Okay, thank you very much. Second made by Ryan Took. Any discussion, any errors or omissions on the minutes? Okay, I don't hear any. All in favor of approving the minutes of November 28, 2023, please signify by saying aye, raising your hand.
Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? I can't tell because we can't see your hands. Okay. It's unanimous. Minutes are approved. Thank you. The next item on the agenda, chairman's remarks. The University of Guam celebrated its 56th Charter Day yesterday, and it was very well attended. We had, I have to say, we probably had over 1,500 people on our campus, hundreds of students from kindergarten through fifth grade at the lecture hall competing in the Chamorro language competition across three different areas. Coming from across the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, as well as Guam. So kudos to class and the Division of Chamorro Studies, as well as the Chamorro Language Commission and other sponsors who helped make that an amazing success. Lots of showcases. We had a governor and first gentleman, lieutenant governor, and representatives from the 37th Guam Legislature, as well as the Council Generals, representatives, and other dignitaries, and our Triton Familia alumni present for the 9:30 opening ceremony, as well as members of our regents. And just a whole array of activities that are standing exhibits, such as huts made by student organizations, the competition for those huts, as well as demonstrations from ROTC, among others. I believe there's been quite a bit of news features about yesterday's activities. And, you know, big showcase, Blue Knight Homecoming. After 20 years of being banned on campus, Blue Knight was brought back home. And Blue Night has always been an evening planned and executed by our student government association leaders the night before Charter Day. We called it the night of preparation, but it was a Blue Night rated R back then, and a lot of really, really risque types of activities. If you do not recall, you were too young for that. We had the, as the governor said, she looked forward to the wet t-shirt contest. They had the orgasm contest, they had alcohol, and I heard they had drugs going around, but I didn't know anything about that. This was a rated PG family-friendly Blue Night, and it was intended to bring the community in, bring your family members, students who remember, alumni who remember Blue Night from yesteryears, are now grandparents or parents, so we said bring them back. Sign up at the alumni booth. Give us your current information and you'll get a free alumni t-shirt or a free Balutin bag and be eligible for a raffle prize drawing. So very successful. This, you know, I want to, one of the last, oh, okay. So yes, that was 20 years ago when Blue Night was banned. And so it had been held afterwards at the hotels and most recently before the pandemic at the beach bar at Gun Beach, where there will be lots of drinking, dancing, you know, alcohol and big ocean. So that always made me nervous, you know, made us nervous. I couldn't sleep at Blue Night. So this Student Government Association leaders were very, very much gracious in wanting to bring it back, not calling it an alumni homecoming, but rather just a Blue Night homecoming in general. Let's see. Anyway, thank you. So I know that there are three action items, and we'll hear a report from our executive director, who's been always, she and her team have been always phenomenal in the types of productivity just within the past quarter since we last met. And of course, this meeting that just took place between the interim dean of School of Health, health science professor, our senior vice president, provost, Dr. Charlene, the head of CCD, CDC here on island, and a professor who is the director of the Immunization Group, Center for Surveillance, Immunization, and Epidemiologic Research from the National Institute of Infectious Diseases out of Tokyo, Japan, for a potential partnership with the University of Guam. And that could lead to other kinds of research and funding opportunities, in addition to the link to a proposed public health a bio laboratory. And Dr. Yvette Paulino, who is the interim dean of the Margaret Hattori School of Health, is our representative for this particular initiative. So looking forward to hearing more. And I'm just going to go ahead and close that. And thank you so much for everyone's attendance. And thank you so much for your overall support. Okay, Kathleen?
Thank you very much. And I'm going to share my screen as we go to 4.1 Executive Director's Report to the Board. This is informational purposes. And we will, let's see here. I should see that. Okay. And so this is the report to the board on March 8th. And first, we're going to track our key performance indicators, which we report on at the end of every fiscal year. We usually report to the board in December. And so this is where we're tracking. You see the last 3 years comparison year over year, and that is ending in January. We have 22, 23, and 24. And as you can see, our expenditures are up a bit at 8.7% here, with we have about $6.5 million of expenditures so far this fiscal year. Well, let me go down. Here we go. Next page. Now, our indirect costs have, we're not seeing as many. And this year it's down slightly, but that's because we had a new accrual accounting method that we were required to follow at the end of the last fiscal year. And so that meant that we had to accrue revenue in FY23, even if the payment was not received. So this is why we had such a big year. Last year, we had a total of $22.4 million worth of expenditures. It's because we remember, and that was a rush. That was something new, but we didn't have a choice. We had to follow it. So, you know, and we were a little worried about that, actually. And so that's why with the net from last fiscal year, we paid for our obligation to the Wherry building for this fiscal year. We paid ahead just in case. Operations revenue and expenditures. So our revenue is about the same. Here we are. And then we are higher in our core expenditures because, of course, the 22% raise that was implemented. And so that, of course, our costs are higher. And as I just mentioned, we already set aside the $250,000 commitment to the Wherry Building for this fiscal year. So we have on hand right now $750,000 to transfer to the university to support the construction costs for that building when it begins. Our employees, we have 137 full-time employees, 105 part-time employees, for a total of 242 employees assigned out to the various units. And those 17 are student employees. We are supporting 169 grants. The annual budget of those grants combined is $37.8 million. And the multi-year budgets, when I saw this figure, I almost fell over. It's over $100 million. And that's because we've got several large grants that came in recently, one for Romina King, and that is measuring carbon in the air. Dr. Rachel, I believe that's it. That's $5 million. C grant came in at $5 million. Both of those are 5 years. And of course, the big $10 million next gen grant at CNAS. So this, of course, is peak. We've just never seen that before at the University of Guam. The last time I reported on this, which was in June, we were at $83 million in multi-year budgets. So, you know, some of these grants are 5 years. And so that's why we're seeing these big numbers. Our CD investments, one matured already on February 12th, and we have another $200,000 in Coast 360, and that matures in April, and the board had authorized the Research Corporation to create laddered CDs so that one was always maturing before another. So we always had access to cash, and so we are discussing now, and we think we will go ahead and put maybe the Bank of Guam in for another 6 months. And so by the time that matures, we're ready to give that to UOG. We'll discuss that in greater detail with the VPAF and with our comptroller, Abby. And so we, as you know, some of you do know, we have the grading permits for both of the buildings. Those were issued February 2nd, and you've seen some activity on the Wherry site. And the Wherry building permit is still at 80%, and we're still pending GWA and EPA. And EPA wanted some various calculations on post-construction, you know, where the water's going, basically. And for GWA, they wanted to charge us for sewer and water hookup, but we have our own water, so we had to negotiate with them. I think we're still negotiating with them. And so, you know, to charge us only for the sewer and not the water hookup. And the nursing building permit is about 30%. We have another check-in meeting with EDA next week on Tuesday. And so I'll get additional information from FMS before that date. So we can give them an update on what we're doing. But we're really, you know, we're riding that timeline really closely. So we really need to shake these out. Other updates, of course, we had the OPA credit card audit, and we have provided all the information to them per their request. They haven't come back to us to ask for any 2023 data. They did come back and ask the business office, so we're just expecting to receive that anytime, so we'll see. We had, Michael, do you recall, I think it was 220 samples, 230 samples?
240.
240? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was quite a bit of work, and I really want to congratulate the whole RCOG team for gathering all that information and submitting it to the OPA. And then, of course, meanwhile, the EY audit is going on, and it's a more extensive audit because last year, you will recall, and I'm certain Randy recalls that we submitted our audit late because we were waiting for the actuarial report, and the But and that had to do with the government of Guam and Ernst & Young. And unfortunately, we were trapped in that discussion. But anyway, we have an unqualified audit, but we will lose our low risk auditee status next year. We didn't have a choice. It was the best bad option to make. And so therefore now they're digging deeper into additional samples for all of our grants, which creates a lot more work for people. So thank you, GovGuam and EWA. And so anyway, so both of those projects are ongoing. If you've read some of the newspaper reports on other credit card audits at other agencies, they are very detailed. They are very nitpicky. There isn't a positive statement in any of them. So, you know, be prepared. We have really put together, I think, a good package, but the university was hacked and all our systems went down. So in 2020, and so we lost some of the requisitions. There's just a handful that we couldn't come up with. So we think we have a good case. You know, there's a couple of weak spots, but one of our bright spots, which I emailed to them and said, hey, I hope you give us a good plug on this, is our travel award, because every other organization, they don't give out their travel awards because they haven't developed the policy, they haven't done it. Well, of course, we've been doing that since 2017 and have given out about 85 or 86 different travel awards. And it's documented on our website and we have a whole process. So I said to them, hey, I would like a positive statement on that. We'll see if that comes to fruition. We're working on some FEMA grant submissions right now in conjunction with facilities management and ORSP, and working with the SANG faculty and the new dean on the equipment for the School of Engineering. And so all of that is together. It's under review now, their list of equipment. And you know, I told the engineering faculty and team there that we have to keep this grant at $1 million because, as you'll recall from last December, there was $200,000 available for a match. And so that's all we have for a match for the engineering school. But, you know, hey, $200,000 gets us $800,000. So, you know, it's a good deal. So we'll be ready to go. And when that opportunity opens up on sometime this spring, we'll be ready to go with our submission. And the Latarche, who's one of the EDA folks from Seattle assigned out here, she offered to review it, which she does. She reviews all these grants from the regional perspective. And so as long as we can get it to her, I think before the end of the month, and she can review it, that's like an extra plus for us. We participated in the USAID training to learn their process, which is quite complex, I must say, but does provide some new opportunities for the University of Guam faculty and some exciting things. So a lot of their focus is, you know, in Egypt and other countries like that, but we're waiting. Hopefully something will pop in the region and we can participate. And so stage two for that, we're hoping some more folks can come in, maybe Mary Cruz, Ken Cooper, or some others that the SVPP and the president recommend to be in this training, because, you know, I think it's in line with their areas of expertise as well. And the RC team participated in the eTrieve and SoftDoc relaunch and also on some other projects in trying to bring our online productivity up a notch. And so that would be working on the online travel authorization. And so Michael's spearheading that with them. So not a lot of movement on that yet, but we expect there to be, and this team is working pretty hard. And here's our travel awards that we recently gave away. So these two, Julie Laxamana and Zia Sandoval, they participated in the Tokyo Rotary District meeting along with Professor McNinch as part of a series of activities focused on community development that's tied to their program. And then Taylor Uggen and Danica Tamingdong, they are going to Kyoto over spring break to learn about the Kyoto School of Philosophy. So, you know, we support not only science, but across the institution. And Trevor Hull will present his research paper at the ICBEIT International Conference in March. That's in Japan. And then he's going to stay there because he's got a semester exchange program, and that was organized by GLEE as well there. So all of these, well, these two and Trevor are business students. So we have four business students here and one biology major. So everybody can see that this benefit is spread across campus. We have two master's students here. They're graduate students down at the Marine Lab, and they're going to present their research papers at the European Coral Reef Symposium in Naples, Italy. And Sable here was able to find a travel award for 90,000 miles to Italy. Note to self, save up for that. And so they were recommended by their mentor professors, Heloise Ruiz and David Kombosch. And then we have Denzel. He's maybe one of two people who we have given the award to twice. He is also a business major, and he's also going to present his paper at the ICBEIT conference in Okinawa in March. And then we had Ellen Norris, and she's a recent graduate, and she presented her research paper at the recent conference in Saipan on her brown tree snake research. And that was the Marianas Islands Conservation Conference. And that she just returned from that. And the finally, Victoria De Leon Guerrero, she is traveling to Guam and to join her Guam-based classmates as they participate in the Network of Schools of Public Policy Affairs and Administration. It's a simulation competition. It's virtual, hosted in Europe. And so they are going from there, from Guam to participate in that. So we've networked with the Saipan cohort. And I just wanted to say that, you know, we had a meeting with the WASC team when they were here for the site visit. And at the end of that meeting, they said, you have the secret sauce, meaning the University of Guam and all of its grants and its grants ecosystem, and we are blown away. So that's what they said about the grants activities at the university. So we were quite thrilled with that. And then earlier today, Michael Connor and Danica met with a representative from the Forest Service who just said, you guys are amazing. All your files are in order. This is really a good job. The last person she visited didn't even have a file on this new grant. So at any rate, that is our report. And I will stop sharing that. And any questions if anybody has any?
Congratulations, Kathleen. Yes, one of seven commendations. It's just, I agree with Regent Chung. It's an opportunity, Kathleen, maybe to showcase at one of our WASC annual conferences about how, you know, the research enterprise is an important part of just the collaboration between the academic side, the research side, and the sustainability piece. I do have one question. It concerns the CDs, I just want to know the cash yield from the 200, I think it was 200,000, 250.
Right, that was 7,000.
Okay.
Change. Yeah, $7,000 and change for the interest on that. And then the other one is going to mature in May, April. Yeah. So at Coast 360. So we had two different banks and two different CDs.
And so is it the intent to continue on with Coast 360, or are we just sunsetting completely?
No, I think we want to roll over this one for 6 months because, like I said, we're going to have a lot of cash flowing out. And so we want to have that available, but we think that in about 6 months, that we'll have that, and we'll be able to transfer the portion over to the University of Guam. And the details of that, I'm going to let the accountants figure that one out, exactly what the flow is there. So with Randy and his team and Michael and our team to make sure that everything goes smoothly and we have the funds to pay the invoices from the contractor when they come in. Because once that building permit is issued, then PFM is going to bill us. So, yeah, we have that.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions from the group? None? Okay. Thank you so much. Congratulations again. Next item.
There's a comment in the chat from Regent Diaz.
Yes. Have we thought of high yield savings accounts versus CDs?
Well, think about it. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe we can, because then we have access to it all the time. So, you know, that's a good point. And a lot of these savings accounts, now it's like the Guam banks kindly finally caught up to, you know, mainland banks and are offering, you know, pretty good rates now. Percentages are comparable. Yeah.
Good.
All right. Good point. We will.
Thank you. Okay. Next item, new business 4.2, resolution number 24-01. Relative to amending the employee handbook and policy manual. Kathleen?
Okay, so this, we needed to correct several things in the policy, particularly in 4.3 regarding dual employment, in section 5.3 regarding interviewing qualified applicants, and basically we just added clarifying language to that. We also wanted to clarify language in 5.4 in reference to required signatures on personnel actions and a 5.7 to update the reference to faculty hires to cite the appropriate Board of Regents resolution. And then we also had several other sections, 6.1, 6.2, and 6.3. And probably 6.2 is the most important because we had for the research corporation, it's different than the University of Guam. So you are only allowed to roll over 80 hours of annual or 80 hours of sick in any given year. Where if you're a University of Guam employee, your sick leave just accumulates and then you can use that as towards years of service, right? As your career. When you head to retirement at the University of Guam. And so we had always had a very pretty liberal policy in terms of as long as you don't use more than 3 sick days in a row, any more than that, then you have to get a doctor's note. But now this is strengthening the language so that if you are going on vacation and you want to take some sick days, then you have to, you know, show that you have some doctor's appointments or you have a note from the doctor and so forth to support that. Because we had a few of our grants employees that were really tacking on all their sick leave to their annual leave. And it got a little bit out of hand. And so that's only happening in one or two of the grants. And you know, these are the field folks, right? So they're outside a lot of the times. But so we need to strengthen that language for sure. And then just a couple of other things on noting that the executive director's signature needs to be on the workers' compensation form and to clarify benefits for full-time and part-time employees in section 10. And so if you want me to, we can scan through the booklet. I know you had a copy of it. I can share it and we can go through each of those if you want. What is your preference?
Well, I'm okay. What about other members of the board? Any preference to go line by line, or have you had an opportunity to review? Are you okay with this? You're fine? Okay. So I think at this stage, I mean, I don't know. Did we
entertain? I sent Kathleen some of my comments. There's just some minor edits that we need to suggest it on the resolution. I think there was maybe a reference needed to be added to section maybe 6.3. Hopefully I'm getting that right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there was an update. I think in the policy, there was just a numbering on the section, so it aligns with the resolution.
Yes.
I think section 6.5 was repeated twice. And so all the subsequent, the numbering just needs to be adjusted.
Right. And I've taken note of that. I'm sharing my screen here, and you can see on the fifth, whereas 1 through 5, Regent Diaz wanted to add in section 6.3 after newborn child.
Okay.
And then we did have a numbering issue here on section 6. Sorry to flick through this. So we have two 6.5s actually. So this will become 6.6, 6.7, and 6.8. So those are the changes that will be made.
Okay. Thank you. Did I already ask a motion to approve this? I didn't think so before. Okay.
I don't think so, no.
I'm sorry?
I don't think so.
Okay. So let's go ahead and entertain a motion to approve item 4.2.
Regents, I move to approve subject to corrections.
Thank you. Regent Diaz, are here a second?
Second. Regent Chen seconds.
Thank you, Regent Chen. Any further discussion on this motion? Okay. All in favor of approving the motion, please signify by saying aye, raising your hand.
Aye.
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 Okay, it's unanimous. Thank you very much. So resolution 4.2 is approved, subject to the corrections that were just cited. Thank you. Okay, item 4.3, it's an action item relative to, resolution number 24-02, relative to amending the student employee hiring policy and procedures. Do I hear a motion to approve before we have the presentation?
Regent Chen, motion.
I'll second. This is Rachel.
Thank you very much, Regent Chen, for the motion. Thank you, Dr. Leongro, for the second. Okay, Kathleen, your presentation.
Okay, so we needed to align our student hiring policy and procedures with the new pay scale that was approved. When did we approve that? I think in June or March of last year. And so we're just, there's just a few tweaks that we needed to make. And these we can go through. Oh, my there they are. And so, you know, it's very mild, but if you look down here at 2C, then you can see that our job listings are posted on the RCOG websites, People Admin, and Handshake. And so we wanted to have the announcements up for 7 calendar days instead of 5. And then we just are saying, you know, units may close their listings after 7 days of posted notification. So that is adding 2 additional days to that. And we are now using People Admin, so thank you very much for that, to the University of Guam. And so this is how applicants are able to submit their applications on the employment portal People Admin. And then we have just a few others here. That the selection interview board members consist of 3 individuals. And then there was one other thing that we wanted to note, that because we've taken control of our personnel jackets and information, those used to be kept at the University of Guam HR, and now they're kept at RCOG. So that was a change that was made. So we had to correct the language in here to reflect what actually happens now. And just some various things here with tuberculosis clearance and whatnot. And the Employees should not begin working until the personnel action is approved by the executive director and UOG Chief Human Resources Officer. So Joe Gumutautau still signs off on all of the actions. And so those are the changes made to this document. I think there was one other. Okay. Yeah, so those are the changes made. They're quite minor, but all together, you know, it was something that we wanted to bring to the board. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Kathleen. Any questions by the board members?
Hi, Madam Chair. I just had maybe a recommendation.
Sure.
Just as it relates to the people admin and handshake, I know that that's the current system being used, but maybe we could put some language in there that so that if people admin and handshake change or get updated, that it'll just be or equivalent or any successive system after something to so that we don't have to go back in there and change people admin and handshake if those change in the future.
Noted. We'll make that change.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, I don't see any. All in favor of approving resolution number 24-02, subject to corrections, please say aye.
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 Thank you very much. The ayes have it. Resolution 24-02 is approved. Next item, 4.4, resolution number 24-03, relative to adopting the relocation expenses policy. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Thank you. Second. Dr. Leandro, seconded by, I think that's
Ryan.
I'm sorry, Ryan. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Shook. Okay, Kathleen, you're on.
Okay, so we needed to adopt a policy. We had been using the University of Guam's policy as kind of a guideline. And although I want to say 95% of our employees are hired locally, we do bring in some, for example, on the Brown Tree Snake USGS project. Sometimes on the USDA Brown Tree Snake project. So we have a couple that sometimes we bring folks in. And so we needed to establish a policy that outlines what kinds of things we are going to pay for. We're not as generous as the University of Guam. And because the folks that are coming in for the most part are field employees and not administrators or faculty, because we don't have faculty, right? So and at any rate, down here on the page. So we know that we can either book the employees' airfare or they can do it themselves, but they have to adhere to the travel policy. So, you know, economy fare, et cetera, et cetera. We will allow $500 of excess baggage charges, or they can mail their belongings to Guam, and 1 week of car rental and 1 week of housing. And that housing can be at the Marine Lab or even in the dorms if they're available. There was also a practice for one of the Brown Tree Snake grants. And so that is because it was very hard to retain employees who are out in the field looking for brown tree snakes, and a lot of times during the night. But anyway, it's the conditions are pretty rough, and so it's a practice with these two projects in particular to offer a stipend to employees who complete 1 year. And in one of these projects, when we started in 2020, there were seven employees. Six were from off island, and one was from on island, and now it's reversed. Six are on island and one is off island. And so every single employee who, you know, keeps going to that 1 year mark on that particular grant, because it is allowed in the grant budget, they will get a stipend to continue. So it's not every grant. It's not, in fact, even that every grant has to offer all these things, that this is what you can offer. And so that is, we had a request by a federal program officer to develop a policy for this. And so this is how this one came about. And so we're taking some of the things that we have done and putting them on paper and creating a policy.
Thank you. Any questions for Kathleen? I don't hear any. Call for the vote. All in favor of approving resolution number 24-03, please signify by saying aye and raising your hand. Aye.
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 Okay, it's unanimous. Thank you very much. Resolution 24-03 is approved. Let's see, any other announcements before we move to adjournment?
I don't have any. Except for to say welcome to Regent Chun. This is her first RCOG.
Oh, that's right.
And
yes. Welcome aboard. Happy to have you. Yes.
Thank you.
It's been a long week. We're looking forward to the weekend. Have a wonderful evening and wonderful and restful weekend, everyone. Thank you so much for all your support. Thank you, Kathleen, team RCOG, for all of
your
hard
work. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, take care,
Adios.
Everyone. Adios. Bye-bye.